We're back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Auburn Undercover Podcast here on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King. Hope everybody has had a good July. So far, we are quickly moving into the meat of the college football preseason because SEC Media Days are right on the horizon. Auburn's day with Brian Harsin obviously leading the charge, and the two player representatives are going to be quarterback Bo Nix and linebacker Owen Papo. Their day in Hoover after the event obviously didn't happen last year. We're back in Hoover. Auburn is going to have its day on Thursday, but things are getting rolling on Monday as you're listening to this, probably on Monday. Things are already getting going in the circus that is SEC Media Days. And so I thought a fun episode to kick off this week and look forward to Media Days. I still like Media Days a lot. I'm very young and haven't been scarred by it yet, but I still enjoy it. It hasn't really lost its luster for me yet, but I kind of thought, you know, a fun idea to kick off the week and look ahead to Media Days would be to get a bunch of people on who have done it before and are in similar situations and have seen Auburn through the years at the event to talk about it, because I know, you know, a lot of fans haven't been before. And some people, I guess, don't know what really goes into it. And the craziness, again, it's just a whole circus. It's pretty wild once you get there. But, you know, understanding what goes into it and what a day of being at the event might actually look like. And so I pitched it to everybody the same way. I think we got 7 or 8 people that agreed to come on the podcast and talk about it. All people who cover Auburn or have covered Auburn in the past, talk about their favorite memory. That's all I said. I said, pick your favorite memory. Some people decided to kind of go a little bit more into how the event has changed over the years and just their overall impressions and opinions of the event and how it's run and the craziness and, you know, what's dumb about it, what's fun about it. But a lot of people had some pretty funny stories to tell, that some of which involve Auburn, some don't. And so, and then at the end, I'll give my input on it as well. And my favorite memory from the event. I've only gone to 3 of them, but there's been some pretty eventful, funny stuff that's happened so far. So yeah, I just thought we'd kick off the week with a fun episode and look ahead to Media Days. Again, on Thursday is when Brian Harsin and the Tigers are going to be taking the stage. And so we'll get into it now. Again, we got a big lineup of guests. I'll introduce everybody as we go along, but hopefully it's an enjoyable show for y'all to kind of take a trip down memory lane as we talk about some coaches and players from years past and some funny moments that they were involved in. So we'll get to our first guest right now. Okay, and so the next guest on is Mr. Mark Murphy from Inside the Auburn Tigers. Mark, you just told me you've been to every single Media Days, SEC Media Days. That's pretty crazy. You've probably got a lot of good stuff to choose from. So hit me. What memory sticks out to you, or multiple memories?
You know, it used to be a lot more of a social event. You would spend time, you know, talking with coaches in non-formal settings and even players. First year of 1985 was at the Holiday Inn in downtown Birmingham at their medical forum. And didn't have players there until 1989 and started bringing 2 players then. And I think it got better then and attracted more attention. And there used to be a lot of fun outings involved with it. There was a real competitive golf tournament. And, you know, in the early years, a lot of the head coaches would go out there and play with us. And you know, they wanted to win. And if you had one of those coaches on your team, you better go out and play well for them. And so it was a lot of fun. Had a tennis tournament in the early years. And, you know, the last couple of years, it's been, you know, more corporate, more business, more making sure the SEC television network has some good video and good sound bites.
So you said a while ago that you just barely missed the Skyriders tour, right? Can you explain what that is to everybody listening? Because when I first found out that this used to be a thing, my mind was just completely blown.
Yeah, they would fly around to every school in the SEC on a charter plane of a vintage one, to say the least. I was a little nervous flying those things. And they'd be flying into some really small airfields, like places like Oxford, Mississippi. And, you know, at that time, Mississippi State, I think they had a pretty small airfield there too. Same with Auburn. So, you know, teams, the riders would go in, and sometimes they'd do 2 colleges in one day, They sometimes go out and actually watch practice and interview players there on the spot, interview coaches. And it was sort of a, you know, one of those whirlwind tours, like seeing Europe in 17 days, and see the SEC in about a week. So I heard it was pretty wild. And I was kind of young at that time, and I figured it might be going on for years to come. And so, you know, maybe I should have gone out and done it at least once.
Maybe they'll bring it back one of these days. Maybe we'll all hop on a bird and be able to go do that. So was it in the summer, or was it, you said it was like closer to practice, right?
Yeah, it was, I'm pretty sure it was in August.
Gotcha.
After, teams were in preseason practices. Because back then, you know, they didn't start playing college football games in August, started practice in August, and because the games were a little bit later in September normally. So it was, you know, I've enjoyed going to the media days, you know, learned a lot. Been several different venues, but almost always in either Birmingham or Hoover. They had one in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and it wasn't very well set up for that at the College Football Hall of Fame, and they might come back there, but it wasn't one of the best media days, in my opinion. But, you know, I think, you know, fans enjoy that. To me, it's like the official kickoff of the college football season in the South.
Yeah, it's a real bummer that fans won't be allowed in the building this year. But yeah, I'm the same way. I think it's really cool. I mean, I've only done, I think, three of them, so it hasn't really lost its luster for me yet. But so what has been your favorite interaction with? Did you get into it with a coach? Did a player do something funny? What's something that stands out to you that you still remember to this day?
You know, so the funniest thing to me is like sports writers for many years are complaining about how cold it was in the main media room in there. I don't know why they kept it down. I think it was because the television equipment in there, they needed to keep it cool. And a couple of sports writers made a comment one year by showing up with winter jackets, with ski hats on and gloves. And I think the message got through and they finally warmed it up a little bit for us.
But
I remember
amazing.
Pulling on my hands, trying to stay warm while watching coaches up there on the main podium. And I remember getting up and taking a break and getting coffee in the middle of the afternoon, not because I needed to stay awake. I just wanted to warm up.
So you didn't wear the ski equipment. You did not partake.
No, but I dressed very warmly for the middle of summer in Birmingham, Alabama.
That's all right. So I'll bring a jacket next week just in case. What has been, so a few people who have been on here before talking about this, I didn't realize how much coaches kind of go back and forth sometimes at each other. I'd kind of witnessed it a little bit with Gus getting a little testy a few years ago, but what have been some of your favorite coach versus coach things that have happened, or just a coach kind of individually kind of saying some things that you get back to your desk and you're like, what in the world was he just talking about?
You know, the thing I really missed was coaches tended to be more candid back in the 1980s. And, you know, this is before the internet, and they wanted to get their point across on something. This is a perfect opportunity to do it. And Pat Dye at Auburn, you could count on him saying something very controversial at SEC Media Days, at least one thing. And it was all pre-planned. He knew what he was going to say long before he walked into that building and why he was going to say it. And he was getting his point across to the SEC officials. And that was always entertaining. But, you know, right now, it seems to me most of the coaches try to get through it without making any kind of mistake. And that's their key goal going into media days.
Yeah, unless your name is Mike Leach, and then your goal is the complete opposite of that.
That would be fun to see.
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Here with no media days.
I wish we were there on his day, but I was saying to somebody earlier, because Drinkwitz goes back with Harsin to Boise, I feel like maybe we'll get a little bit of back and forth. I haven't seen that from Harsin. I haven't seen him show any propensity to act that way, but maybe he will. What are you most looking forward to about next week? I thought we actually got a pretty decent pairing. I thought Owen and Bo, that's a pretty good pairing of players. What are you most looking forward to asking them or asking Brian Harsin?
Yeah, the players, I think it makes a lot of sense because they're both juniors. They've both started two full seasons. I think in Owen Popo's case, he needs to get a lot of consideration for all SEC teams. He got overlooked last year. I thought he had an all SEC caliber performance. And I think he's going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. He's going to talk about how he and Sakobi were overlooked last year on the all SEC teams. He's not going to be shy saying that. He's a mature kid. He's well-spoken. I think he'll do well. And I think Bo Nix could have handled this when he was 13 years old, growing up in a football family with his grandfather being an outstanding coach and his dad being a player at Auburn and being an outstanding high school coach himself who also coached in college. So, Bo's been around this his whole life. So I think they'll handle it with no problem. It's going to be interesting to see how Brian Harsin handles things. He's going to get a lot more pointed questions probably than he was used to getting at Boise.
Yeah, we'll see how many questions he goes through on that main podium. Maybe if it's 20 minutes, he might get to 3 or 4 questions. We'll have to keep
it. He does tend to go a little long with some of his answers, Nathan.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think that the SEC world will start to see that and start to see how long he tends to filibuster sometimes. But
Miles was good at that at times.
Yes.
And sometimes he would go off tangent and talk about 3 or 4 different subjects that weren't even asked on the main question.
Yeah, we'll see if Harsin can top his answer length. But thanks so much, Mark, for coming on and giving your input after covering so many different SEC media days. I will see you next week in Hoover, and I'll be sure to bring lots of warm clothes and some hot hands, some coffee, stuff like that. But thanks so much, Mark. Obviously, Inside the Auburn Tigers, where you can find him. We'll get to our next guests right now. Okay, and here's Mr. Justin Ferguson. You can find him on Twitter at JFergusonAU of the Auburn Observer. Justin, very simple to the point. What is your favorite SEC Media Days memory?
Okay, so this one's kind of basic because it's from literally the last one we had. But one of my favorite things about Media Days is like there's so much of Media Days that is very repetitive. Like everybody's trying to get the same type of quotes, and there's so many like national people are like, a player, a team writer from a certain beat will come in and ask a player from another team, what do you think about like Georgia, stuff like that. And so you have to kind of, weave your way through that. And I think my favorite memory of Media Days is the last time we did it and Auburn brought Marlon and Derek the same year. And the time they were in the main room, I just spent my time going back and forth between them, getting them to talk about each other and then relaying the messages back and forth because they were cracking on each other. And one of the first things, so Marlon sits down, he says, I got to tell y'all something. And he points across the room to Derek and he says, that man right there is a bully. He's a bully. So I go over to Derek. He's like, all right, Marlon's over here calling you a bully. He's like, yeah, it's my roommate, whatever. And then they were going back and forth. Which one of them was better? Which one of them was faster? One of the big things that offseason was Derek and Marlon. Marlon especially getting better with his eating, his diet. He had gotten a better diet. And so we were talking about that, and I asked Derek about that. And he's like, yeah, I'm still going to call him fat. But, like, and so it ended up being really good because so much of that is, like, everybody saying the same thing over and over and over again. So when you get an opportunity to get these guys – and what is a weird environment because you got cameras and microphones all in your faces like all day. The rare moments when you get to kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and they get to be themselves and like showcase their personality a little bit. Those are the things I always remember. And I don't think I had more fun at a Media Days session than literally walking across back and forth saying, all right, well, Derek just said this about you. Oh, and Marlon just said this about you. And then writing stories off of that and kind of playing them off of each other. That was always something I really, really enjoyed because a lot of it is kind of repetitive and can get really boring.
What was the candy bar that he had, that Marlon had in his
suit?
He had
Three Musketeers.
I made him
pull it out and show it because he was like, I got a candy bar in my pocket. I was like, all right, show me. He was like, because he's got this nice suit on. It's like, you don't really have a candy bar in your pocket. He's like, boop, here you go.
That was great.
The Three Musketeers. He was talking about like eating salmon and Derek was like, yeah, I never ate salmon before. He's like, I'm originally from Mississippi. We eat catfish, but we ain't going to eat salmon. But yeah. And then one of my other favorite quotes from that time was he says, Marlon said, sometimes I'll wake up before him because they were roommates.
I was hoping you'd get to that.
Sometimes I wake up before him and just wake him up and make him mad just to mess with him. And it's like, here at this point, you had Derrick Brown, who ended up becoming a unanimous All-American that year. Top 10 pick in the NFL draft. Marlon Davidson, who had a phenomenal career at Auburn. These two kind of just big name dudes, superstar college players, messing with each other, using reporters to mess with each other, like they were just any old like college kids. And like, you don't get that a lot, especially in media days. So that's always really fun.
Yeah, you've always got to have, I think, for Auburn at least. I mean, I've only been to like three of them, but you need that one guy who's going to get everybody out of their shell. It was Deshaun Davis the year before that.
In Atlanta, yeah.
I remember, I think Braden Smith was being pretty funny in 2017.
Yes. So it was the rare time we got to see Braden kind of break. Because we thought, the inside baseball here, you hear Braden Smith going in and we're like, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, how is it going to be? And he was like real laid back and loose and had some really funny quotes. Whenever you can kind of break down, because like those guys are hitting all the radio, they're hitting all the TV spots, they're doing the main thing. And like every now and then somebody will walk up and be like, what do you think about Vanderbilt's right tackle? Like, you know, and it's like, that's one of those things where you have to get through it. So anytime these guys can show some personality, it not only makes what we do better, like it makes our writing better and our reporting, I guess, if you can call it that at that stage, better. But you know, you just tell that these guys are, because this is literally the only time they're going to ever have something like this. Like even in the pros, your times with the media aren't going to be as quite as weird as the media day circus is.
I don't know if I'm making this up or not, but I feel like Derek wasn't, no one was on Marlon's level in terms of being funny and messing with us and just always having a good time. I mean, he was like laughing after the Florida game because somebody made a joke. But Derek kind of came out of his shell a little bit that time. I don't know if I'm making this up. Do you remember, like, it was only like five of us left with Derek, but there was like 10 minutes left on his time, so he couldn't get up. And we were just, I mean, basically shooting the breeze, like just kind of just talking. And then, like you said, I feel like people would come up and be like, ask a really, which sounds mean by us because it's like, how dare you do your job? But like, people would come up and ask very serious questions. And I feel like Derek was kind of like, all right, I thought we were kind of done with that. We're asking about his kid and all this stuff. Yeah. And then, like you said, they'd be like, oh, Georgia's offensive line is pretty good, right? I don't care about Georgia's offensive line.
It's always fun when they do that at the Senior Bowl too, because like, we would go down and talk to them at the Senior Bowl and just like kind of cut loose with them. And then like for some reason, guys go down to the Senior Bowl to ask about the teams they cover. And it's like, you know, that Florida defense you faced was really good, wasn't it? But it's like, yeah, I get it. Like the grind's the grind, the game's the game. I'm like, I'm not gonna fault you for that. But yeah, whenever we get those opportunities to kind of kick back with them, because you don't get that a ton, you know, especially during the season, because they kind of gotta go in a little bit of a mode, unless you're a guy like Marlon who would crack jokes at any moment. So it was good. Those guys, that I think Marlon helped Derek show a little bit more personality, especially that day. And so, you know, that's always stuck with me.
Yeah. And then Prince Tego was good, but I'll leave that story. I'm sure someone's going to bring up the story that you
the
know.
Probably.
Yes. Hopefully somebody else. Yeah,
somebody will bring that one up. Yeah,
and if they don't, then I think I'll make it mine. I've got a few that I'm thinking about that I'll do, but, I'll let you know if anyone else brings up yours. So
can I do a bonus one real quick?
The first ever
SEC media days I went to was when Gus Malzahn and Brett Bielema were just like arguing with each other through their podium time.
I don't think I've heard of this.
Okay. So Gus Malzahn comes up and he's talking about his offense. Earlier in the year, Brett Bielema was saying like fast paced offenses are dangerous. They're crazy. You know, guys are getting hurt. Guys are dying. He even mentioned like death certificates at one point. And so Gus gets his time and it's like, okay, well, you got this coach here who's thinking that your type of offense is dangerous. And he's like, yeah, that's ridiculous. And it's like, I thought he was joking. And then Bielema comes to the podium a couple hours later. And he's like, I wasn't joking. Like, you know, that was my first meeting. I was like, do they usually do this? Like, and I think that kind of fades away now. You don't have as much kind of snipping back and forth anymore, especially now with Spurrier not in the league. But that my first one, I was just like, these guys are just going at each other. And it was,
throwing spitballs across the room.
Yeah. But about like killing each other because you're going hurry up offense.
Oh yeah. Where is so Bielema's at? Let's see, Illinois, right?
He's at Illinois now, yeah.
Let's see the pace of their offense.
Several jobs ago for Bert.
Fiery Gus. That's a little surprising, but I guess he used to be that way.
Yeah. Gus, really proud of his offense and proud of his very defensive of it.
Right.
And this was still during the era where Saban is like, is this what we want football to be? And then, look at what they're doing now.
Good times.
It's kind of funny to see how that's evolved over the years.
I think Drinkwitz probably has the best chance of getting into something like that with Harsin because they go back to Boise.
Yes. Yes.
And he had that funny quote about Harsin when he got hired. So I'm glad Missouri is on the same day as them. So maybe mm-hmm. we'll get a little bit of back and forth like you talked about. But
perhaps
Justin was nice enough to come on with us right before he's going on vacation. So thank you so much to Justin. Have a good time at the theme parks that you're hitting up. It's going to be a good time. I will see you at Media Days next Thursday.
Absolutely, man. So, thank you.
All right. Justin Ferguson, you all know him. Thanks so much. We're going to get to our next guest right now. Okay. So now it's Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers here to talk about SEC Media Days. Like Mark, Jason has a lot of experience here. But Jason, we were just talking about it before we got started, how the event has changed a lot. When was your first SEC Media Days? And I guess, how have you seen the event evolve?
Yeah. 98 or 99, somewhere around in there. I'm not really sure. I can't remember which year it was, but sometime around in there was my first one. And obviously it's changed because of COVID, not having it last year, this year, there's still some restrictions and things like that. But it's just been probably the biggest change is it used to be made for media. And now it seems like, well, you can come, but this is made for the SEC Network. And that's the biggest change for me is that it's now made for SEC Network or CBS or whoever. And we're just there to get some scraps here or there. It used to be a much more relaxed, laid back environment where you got some news, those things. And now probably the biggest thing is that there's rarely anything newsworthy because now it's a 24-hour news cycle. And it's a 24-hour, 365 a day news cycle. So that's probably the biggest thing for me is that it's a much different thing. It used to be one of those where you enjoyed being there for a few days, talking to guys, getting some stories. Now it seems like, man, get in and out as quick as you can and let it go. So yeah, it's probably that thing. It's probably gone from one of my favorite events to maybe my least favorite thing we do all year.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll get there. I've only done, I think, two or three of them. It hasn't lost its luster yet, but looking at how it might be kind of a weird event this year with all the restrictions, this this might be the one that makes it kind of not fun for me. Yeah, you were just talking about like how you don't really get that much as people might think you do. That's what I always tell people is that I feel like this is something people look forward to all year, and they kind of forget how little information you actually get. I mean, it's really not that big of a deal, but stuff is just hyped up and shared because it's said at Media Days. That's the storyline, is that, yeah. Oh, they said it at Media Days. It doesn't even matter if it's something important.
It's buzzwords. When you get to Media Days, never worked harder, never been in better shape, all those things you hear. And then when you get new coaches, it's the change in, whatever it is, changing this, changing that, or new mindset, mentality, it's buzzword central now. And that's probably the thing that I like least is that now you don't have, when I started this thing, you had Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier were two of the guys that came every year. Well, you knew what you were going to get then, which is straight up. Those guys were going to talk. They're going to tell you. And it wasn't like coach speak kind of stuff. And so now everything is so protected and you try not to say anything while saying everything at the same time. That's probably the biggest thing for me is that, those personalities that you had where guys you had that, you were, on the road to Tuberville, another one was great. And you had lots of those guys that were really good at, kind of having these types of things, but inclusion, heck, in 1999 and 2000, 2004, we were getting interviews 5 or 6 days a week, during the season. Now it's really 2 days a week. So, it's now there's more information, but you get less of it from the coaches and players than maybe we did in the past.
maybe your answer to this is Tuberville, because like you said, he was kind of the character. But what's your favorite interaction or I guess sequence of events? Because other people have said some pretty crazy things about what Auburn coaches have done. I didn't realize Gus Malzahn was so feisty at media days a few times. I guess what is your favorite memory of what an Auburn coach might have said or what he might have gotten into over the course of the week in Hoover?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if it's actually a coach. It's probably my favorite memory is usually the players, because you get to see guys come out of their shell a little bit that maybe were guys you didn't think had that in them, and they got to media days and it changed everything about them. You guys like you know, recently a guy like Marcus Davis was a guy that went, and he was pretty quiet, but man, he was really good when he was in that setting. And you know, we've seen guys like that in the past. I remember that, and I remember guys that gave him a chance to dress up. You know, hey, wear the suit, wear those things. A guy like James Callier, you know, way back in the late 90s, a guy that, you know, was always dressed, and he, you know, it was great for him to get that environment and do those things. And so it's probably that. But, you know, the only redeeming thing this year for SEC Media Days is that, and I hate it for kids who are actually there for the right reasons because they like to get interviewed, but we don't have to worry about the throng of fans, 99% of which are Alabama fans, that hang around the lobby of the Winfrey and are, you know, trying to get a picture with Saban or players. You know, to me, that's the only thing I'm glad of that we don't have to deal with this year. So, you know, I'll take the losses we have for the gain of not having them around.
So you're not going to miss the guy who dresses up like a giant championship ring?
Oh no, him
and not your favorite guy,
and many others. No, I won't miss those. Like I said, if it was parents and kids, and then I'm all for it. But I'm not, you know, I'm not one for a bunch of grown adults to hang around there and do those things. That's just not my cup of tea, really.
Well, they'll be outside apparently this year. So if you feel that itch, you can go out there and say hello.
That'd be when I hope it rains.
Yeah. Okay, Jason, so what are you most looking forward to about Auburn's day Thursday? What, you know, if you had time alone with Brian Harsin, you got to ask him, you know, a couple questions. What are you most looking forward to him talking about this week?
Probably for him and the players, maybe, you know, some of the guys that developed in the spring. You know, we got to talk to him in the spring, but, you know, really they, once you wrap it up and you go, we haven't really – sat down with him and talked after they go back and watch film. They go back and grade. You put it all, the entire spring together. Probably the guys that made the biggest moves. That'd be one of the questions for me. We know a guy like Tyler Fromm because he went from nothing to running with the first team. Javarius Johnson went from nothing to running with the first team. There's some of those guys we know about, but maybe some guys that you know, on the offensive line, for instance, defensive line guys that really changed the way. I think Marquise Burks will be one of those guys, but hearing some of those guys, and you hear that from Bo Nix and Owen Popo as well, they'll be able to give you an idea of the guys that maybe caught their eye, that they're like, hey, this guy really, really changed maybe our impressions of him in the spring. So that'd probably be one. And then to that point, the players and coaches, they know, they get a feedback from the strength and conditioning coaches, which guys took it to another level this summer and appear to be ready to kind of burst onto the scene this fall. That's usually the thing I like about media days, is you find out about some of those guys that maybe have changed their impressions in a year.
All right, Jason. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for giving your insight a little bit, and we'll get to our next guest right now. So another local Auburn reporter is joining us today. Mr. Jordan Hill of the Opelika Auburn News does a great job over there for the local newspaper in Auburn. Jordan, you have a unique perspective on this because you used to cover Georgia. So you've been doing this a little while. How many media days have you been to?
I've been to, I think, three or four at this point. Okay. I go to a couple when I was still in school, so that was pretty nice.
Gotcha. Now, is your the standout memories or scenes or things that happened, is it from Auburn side or is it from Georgia's side?
It's honestly kind of neither. You know,
okay.
When I've gone to be able to stay for most of each week of media days and now not really been a specific for the team I was covering. The two that really come to mind for me, 2015, which I think might've been the first time I went, that was Steve Spurrier's last SEC media days. And really, Spurrier was kind of reserved. And I think looking back on it, was he might have kind of known that South Carolina wasn't going to be that good that year. But the thing that comes to mind is somebody from Touchdown Alabama got up and asked him about his quarterback play and all the good quarterbacks he's talked, you know, he's coached over the years. But the thing that really stands out is the man proceeded to list as many former quarterbacks. I mean, you got Rex Grossman, you got Doug Johnson, you got Steve. I mean, like he listed probably seven names, and I was just kind of watching, just trying not to bust out laughing. I just wanted to see really how long he could go on. And I don't even really remember what Spurrier wound up saying, but that was pretty funny. And then the most bizarre thing I've seen at Media Days was 2017. And that, if you'll remember, was Hugh Freeze. It was Hugh Freeze's day at the podium. And Hugh
Freeze, forgot about this.
And Hugh Freeze was in the midst of, you know, the scandal was already happening. At that point, it looked like he was going to be safe. He was going to coach. But I'm pretty sure Ole Miss had already been put on. They weren't going to be able to go to a bowl. So they, you know, had been hit by the NCAA. And so he was going to go up there. And, you know, his argument was basically going to be like, you know, we're going to treat all the games like a bowl sort of thing. So it was already bizarre. And I'm sitting there and I'm sitting with Jason Butt, who used to cover Georgia for the Macon Telegraph. And so we're sitting there at this table. And, you know, Hugh is going, and there's a guy to the right of us, maybe two seats to our right. And I'm already kind of like paying attention to this guy because he's wearing an Ole Miss, a shirt with an Ole Miss logo. And, you know, Nathan, and anyone listening, it's not very common that people that cover these teams are going to be wearing, you know, logos of the teams because you're not a fan of the team. You're covering the team and you know, you're going to report the good and the bad. So this guy's wearing an Ole Miss logo. And I'm like, huh, that's kind of weird. And as Hugh's up there talking, I hear something. I look to my right, and this guy is just clipping his fingernails just at the table. And just like, I don't know what he was doing there. I don't know. I highly doubt he wrote a story, but I just remember like seeing it happen. And then I kind of looked around and I'm like, okay, this is abnormal, right? Like, I'm not like, you know.
And then you look and there's 15 other people clipping their fingernails.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in the wrong.
I'm like, is it normal to just clip your fingernails in public? But and then, yeah, so Hugh kind of got out of that saying, you know, we're going to just play every game like a bowl game. And he didn't make it to the season. He got fired like a week and a half or maybe 2 weeks after that. It was very bizarre, but it's part of Media Days. There's always some kind of weird storyline that winds up coming up, and you just got to kind of sit and enjoy it and embrace the awkwardness of whatever's going to come with it.
Okay, just to be clear, when I said I forgot about this, I wasn't talking about fingernails. I had no idea about that. Yeah. But wasn't because that was the first one I ever did. Auburn had Daniel Carlson, Braden Smith, and Trey Matthews that year. And I came a little late. Auburn hadn't started yet, but I missed that thing like in the morning, like in the hotel room. But people all of a sudden were like turning and Freeze was up there because he was talking about, was that the year he just was like changing the subject? Do you remember what I'm talking about? He was like, yeah, no, I actually, you know, people would ask him really tough questions about the whole situation. And he'd be like, yeah, the new Star Wars, you know, they're okay. Like they, you know, maybe they're not my cup of tea, but am I losing my mind? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
He might have. I'm trying to remember. I know I mentioned Jason, but I remember he asked basically what Hugh's mentality was going to be going into the season, knowing that they weren't going to a bowl. And I mean, if I remember correctly, he answered it, but it was basically like, we're going to treat every game like a bowl and just make, you know, just make it a big deal every single week. But he might have filibustered and changed the subject. I can't really remember. I think, truth be told, Nathan, I was still mesmerized by my table mate who decided to start clipping their fingernails.
Your fingernail clipping friend. Okay. Well, I just Googled Hugh Freeze Star Wars and nothing came up. Maybe I like was in the,
it's possible
was in the twilight. I'm gonna
it seems like a very Les Milesian thing to do.
Okay, but somebody said, okay, there's things on. Okay, here's a tweet from Justin is saving us. Justin Ferguson tweeted that time. He said, Hugh Freeze at SEC Media Days, quote, I would now like to share some ideas I have for JJ Abrams' seventh chapter in the Star Wars saga. So I think maybe he reached the point where he like didn't want to talk about the situation.
I mean, because that's all he was getting. You know what I mean? That was all that was being talked about, and rightfully so. You're not while, you know, the like once in a lifetime, like huge Ole Miss scandal, I'm not going to get the mic and say, "Coach, tell me about your tight ends." Like, right. It just doesn't, you know, that was the thing.
That's great. That's great. I had totally, okay, that's like up there now with my favorite memories because I had completely forgotten about that. Well, Jordan, what are you most looking forward to about next week? I highly doubt we'll get any Star Wars references from Brian Harsin, but I mean, you never know.
Yeah, we might get lucky. I think the biggest thing, it'll be nice to get some, you know, in-person interviews with some of the players. I'm more looking forward to getting to see some of the riders I haven't seen in a long time because for us, Media Days is kind of like our only like annual convention. And I'm really lucky from when I went to school at UGA that I know a lot of people that are on other beats like Ole Miss. I'm sure I could rattle off a bunch of other ones, know some people at like South Carolina, LSU. So this kind of lets us all be in one space for at least a little while. So it'll be good to kind of catch up and sort of see what it's been like for them and what, you know, media access and things like that have been like, and just be good to kind of get a little more sense of normalcy. It's a shame that fans won't be able to be in there. I hate to see that, though. You know, you understand why. But it's another step toward hopefully what winds up being a pretty normal football season, at least, you know, fingers crossed, hopefully. That is the case, but that's the biggest thing for me, just to be with a bunch of people I haven't seen in a while and get to kind of reminisce and catch up and also get a little work done.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Hopefully there is work to get done. Hopefully there's at least some newsworthy things, but thank you so much, Jordan. Thanks for coming on and giving your memories a little bit. He's Jordan Hill from the Opelika Auburn News. If you live in Auburn, you definitely have checked out the newspaper. If you don't, go check them out online. Thank you so much, Jordan, for joining us. And we're going to get to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Auburn Undercover podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Okay, and next up on the podcast is Mr. Jake Weiss from the Auburn Plainsman. He is a senior at Auburn this fall. He's the sports editor at the Plainsman, does a great job over there. He's been covering Auburn for a couple years now. He was just a wee freshman when I met him back in probably 2018, I think. So he's come a long way. He's done a lot of great stuff since then, and he does a really good job over there at the student newspaper, the Auburn Plainsman. So Jake has been to one SEC Media Days, and he says he has a story for us. So, Jake, the floor is yours.
Great. Well, yeah, like I said, I've only been to one, so my answer is kind of recent, like a little bit of a recency bias. But the 2019 SEC Media Days, I had never really experienced anything like Media Days before. So for me, just kind of getting to experience all the sights and sounds that entails with Media Days is kind of my favorite memory of it. Really the kind of little three things that stick out the most to me were, first off, one of the first things I did when I got there, after checking in, went to go use the bathroom, and I'm walking out afterwards and Paul Feinbaum's walking in, and, you know, being just a little sophomore going into sophomore year, I kind of do a double take and I go, you know, and then it didn't hit me until I went to go sit back down that, you know, Paul Feinbaum, I had just held the door open for Paul Feinbaum. So that's the first thing. Second thing, once again,
if you had known it was him at the time, would you have like said something in the bathroom, do you think?
No, of course not. I just held the door open for him and went about my day.
When you said I went into the bathroom, I was like, I have no idea where this is going. I'm glad it turned out pretty well. Okay, sorry, continue.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you let me. I'm glad you didn't cut me off there. I was worried you were just going to be like, cut it.
Oh, thanks, man. Glad you think I would do that.
Well, and the second thing, once again, just, you know, me feel like me just being a clueless little freshman, sophomore, going into sophomore year. I'm not sure if most people remember him, but Kentucky linebacker Cash Daniel was walking into the big ballroom for his media day, you know, appearance. And who was walking right beside him? I was. I didn't realize who was walking in, so everyone's taking his photo, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, I should, once we get in there, I should ask him what, you know, what news outlet he works for, because he seems like a pretty big deal. And then a couple minutes later, I see him up there, you know, taking questions, and I realize, oh, you know, he doesn't work for, you know, the Kentucky Colonel, or he doesn't work for CBS. He doesn't, you know, he's a football player. Then the last thing that kind of just summed up my media days experience for me that kind of tied it all together was at the time, like Nathan mentioned, we both knew each other at the Plainsman. One of our fellow colleagues at the Plainsman, Zach Tantillo. Is that right?
I think it might be Tantillo, but that's okay.
Oh, gee, okay. Well, he's not going to be happy with that. But coming home after media days, such a fun day, long day. Drive all the way back home, and I turn on the TV, turn on SEC Network, and who's up there? Zach is. For those that don't know, Paul Feinbaum always does the last reporter standing. And so Zach was the last reporter standing. He was still there. And so I turn on the TV, and that's who I see on TV. So that kind of tied it all together for me.
You never know who you're going to see. Yeah, Zach told me I was staying with Zach that trip. That was in – yeah, that was in Hoover. That wasn't in Atlanta. He told me he blacked out. He called me and he said, Nathan, I'm walking to my car right now. He said, I just completely blacked out. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I was on Paul Feinbaum. He says, I have no idea what I just talked about. I have no idea what I said. I don't remember any of it. So hopefully I didn't say anything too bad. The last reporter stand. Are you going to go for that this year? You going to hang around just because? It'd be some good publicity, you know?
I thought about it, actually. Like, since that day, I thought to myself, man, next media day is like, I'm going to wait till the end. Obviously media days didn't happen last year, and then this year with some restrictions, COVID restrictions, I don't know if I'll stay. I might just, you know, leave right after Auburn's stuff is done, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, Auburn always, it always lends, because I think Brandon Marcello was up there with Zach, and Brandon always did that. I think Brandon halfway did it, like halfway, because he just liked to hang around and work and didn't want to leave yet, wanted to do stuff in that workspace. But half of it is like, again, like the free publicity, but it lends itself well to Auburn people to get up there, because Auburn's always on the last day of the event. I mean, I don't know how far back I've only covered like three of them, but every time I've been there, they've been the last ones. And apparently Harsin isn't going to start until like noon. So he's not only are we on the last day, but I think he's actually Auburn is the very last team of media days.
So wow, maybe I've got a good shot then, I guess.
You might have a good shot. Someone does. There might be a few of us vying for that one, but all right, Jake. Well, thank you for your input and your stories. They made me laugh. I had my mic muted, but they made me laugh a lot, especially when you said I went into the bathroom. Just really had no idea what was going to happen there. But Jake Weiss, Jake, what's your Twitter so people can follow you?
At the Jake Weiss. So
the Jake Weiss on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the Plainsman.com, Auburn Plainsman student newspaper, obviously. Everybody at Auburn loves it. You love it. You know it. Jake Weiss, senior sports editor there. Thank you so much, Jake. And we will get to our next guest right now. All right, now we are set to welcome in the only person who is appearing on this show today who is no longer a sports journalist, and that is Mr. Josh Vitale. As many of you know, he used to work for the Montgomery Advertiser covering Auburn for a long time, and he has now moved on to bigger and better things in a non-journalism job, but he has extensive experience covering the Auburn Tigers, and he's been to a few media days. Josh, how many SEC media days have you been to?
So they didn't have them last year. So I guess the answer would be four.
Four. Okay. And I don't know why, but whenever we're somewhere, wherever we used to go somewhere as a beat, just funny things would always kind of follow you around. So I feel like you're going to have some decent ones here. But you texted me before saying that you don't know if you necessarily have specific memories more as just, you know, talking about how stupid the event is overall. Yeah. So the floor is yours to talk about SEC Media Days, and you are no longer tethered to a media affiliate. So literally say whatever you want.
Yeah. It's just like the vibe of the whole thing is just ridiculous when you like really like step back and like think about what it is. Like, it's not like in theory, it's a press conference, and press conferences, as you know, are boring. Like, yes, one person stands in front of the room and everyone asks questions and it's boring, but like they make this an event. Like, fans show up. There's 800 people in this ballroom, which, by the way, you've been to the Winfrey, right? You've been to that ballroom? It's 4 degrees in there. I don't know why they do this every single year, but like my first year, I brought 4 collared shirts because, like, you know, it's July. And then I get there and Dana Salona, my editor, was like, no, you should have brought a jacket. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's Alabama in July. She goes, no, you need a jacket. And then every year after that, I brought pullovers because it's 7 degrees in there. And people are just, they're just searching for stuff, man. Like, it's like, I remember the interview that stood out. This is the one I thought of, was Prince Tega Winogo 2 years ago. People ask him questions for 15 minutes. It's like, how's your off season? You know, how's the offensive line look? And then someone
terrible. They're terrible. We're bad. Yes, I'd love for somebody to actually say that.
Yeah. But then halfway through, like there was like a pause, and I remember someone goes, so you tweeted a couple weeks ago that you have a pet giraffe. What's that about? And I'm like, this is where we're at. This is the journalism. And this is what we're doing here. It was so weird. Everything about it is weird.
I will say that probably turned into one of the funniest back and forth interactions between a player and reporters, because he was getting people to actually believe it. Like he was like, no, yeah, I have. And that was when he talked about that scar on his arm. And he said that he told Gus Malzahn on his official visit that he fought off a tiger to protect his village. And he was like, y'all are funny, man. You think that like everywhere in Africa is like this third world country. He was like, I watched TV. I went to school. Like, it's just, yeah. That was hilarious. But what was your favorite? Because I know you were Gus the whole time, covering Gus, but somebody, Jordan had brought up Hugh Freeze in 2017 during that whole scandal thing.
Yeah.
But what was your favorite coach there that was not named Gus Malzahn?
I don't think Gus could ever be the favorite. Gus was out there at the end, just like he was just like, please don't ask me any questions. I want to go home really quick. I think my first year was Les Miles last year. Les Miles is funny because he, like a lot of coaches, when they filibuster, they like they want to run through their roster and stuff. And Les just like went on a whole thing about like his summer vacation, like what his daughter was up to. Like he just went into like whatever, and they get 20 minutes, and he was like, he did like 17 of just talking, and he's like, all right, do you have any questions? And they asked like three, and then they cut it off because it was like ready out of there. I did enjoy that. It was funny. Like you could just tell, like he would stop for a second and you would think like, oh, he's gonna take a question. And he'd be like, all right, so then my daughter, this was back in June, my daughter did this. And it's like, this man's a legend. He knows what he's doing. He's not going to answer any questions today.
It's smart honestly to avoid it. Okay, so you just got done, you know, covering Brian Harsin, the beginning of the Harsin era, just a few weeks ago. Over under three questions that he answers during his time on the main stage.
I think three is the number. I don't want to take over under three. I think I'm going to push on three.
And can you explain why you think that is?
Yeah, I think they're not going to let him get away with filibustering the whole thing. The SEC will make him answer some questions, but Brian Harsin's a very long talker. He gets very detailed. He may repeat some things from time to time during his sentences. So like he gets into it. So I think he'll opening statement for at least 15 minutes going through the roster probably. And then, yeah, he'll get a couple questions, but he talks long. He's going to talk for 2 minutes, 3 minutes in each of those answers. By the time you do 15 minutes and that, you're at 25, they're going to rush you off the stage. So I don't think you're going to hear much on the stage from Brian Harsin. Hopefully you guys get him beforehand, like we did with Gus, and get a little more, you know, reportable info than you'll get from that stage.
Yeah. Apparently we're not getting that.
Oh, well, that's good.
But I think we might be getting something like Wednesday night. Should I also, I thought about this. I need to ask you because you're, you know, get the outsiders, the non-journalist opinion. Should I ask Bo Nix if he's seen the meme about this is the year?
I think you absolutely should.
Or do you, I want your actual answer, because if you think it's stupid, like the Prince Tega thing, I'm not going to do it.
Okay. So here's the answer. And I think this is where we're at in the industry. Like it's stupid, but it's good. Like it'll do well. It'll be funny. People will like to click on it and read it. So yeah, it's dumb, but yeah, you should also do it, because like that's what I think, that's sort of what Media Days has sort of become. It's like probably when they started it was probably like a real like journalism event where like writers who didn't have, like there wasn't things on TV, there wasn't Twitter, you were probably learning stuff that you couldn't otherwise learn.
Yeah.
Now it's a circus. It's a TV show. It reporters get invited, but it's really not for us. It's for kind of everyone else to just put it on SEC Network and get the coaches to sit on Feinbaum's set and whatever. So yeah, definitely ask Bo Nix if this is the year. 100%.
I'll be sure.
I want to know the answer now, actually. So
okay. Yeah. I'll be sure to do that. And if it's not like an actual thing, I'll like ask him at some point. I'll be like, dude, have you seen this?
Yeah.
I'll just like put the phone right in his face. Like, you seen this, bro?
Have you seen the tweet, bro?
I will say this, when you talked about how cold it was, Mark Murphy the other day told me that one of the first years he was there, it was so cold that like tons of riders showed up the next year wearing like ski masks and like ski outfits and just like winter coats to prove a point. And he said they sat there and worked the entire time in like they were in like outside snowing Colorado.
And they were probably very comfortable.
They probably were. Yeah. So hopefully somebody makes a statement like that.
The explanation I heard once, I think I asked someone once and they said it was because like they put fine bomb set in the back of the room and they needed to keep it cold because of like the lights and stuff, but I didn't really track for me.
I was expecting like, oh, there's a ton of people in one room. You don't want people to get overheat. Like you don't want things to get hot with a bunch of bodies. That would be like, that was not on my bingo card of why.
No, that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told.
I'll try to confirm it for you. But all right, Josh. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Hope everything is going well with your non-journalism endeavors. It's sad because I've been saying it to everybody else. I'm like, see you next week in Hoover.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately won't see you next week in Hoover, but maybe I'll FaceTime you in Dave and Buster's because I know that's
your favorite. That would be awesome.
That's your favorite place on the planet, I know.
I'll be honest. I will not miss SEC Media Days, but I will miss hanging out with you all when we're not working. That's what I'll miss. So I will not miss Brian Harsin's speech, but I will miss Dave and Buster's.
You'll hear that sincerity from this man. What a sweet man. All right, Josh. Well, I appreciate you coming on and giving some of your past experience on here. We're going to get right to our next guest right now. So appreciate Josh, and we'll get to our next guest right now. And the last guest we're going to have on here is, of course, Philip Marshall, because Philip is the only one who has experience dating back to some pretty crazy pre-media days rituals that, you know, obviously set the groundwork for the event right now, the Sky Riders Tour, which is still kind of an insane concept to me. But Philip, you've been to a lot of media days. You have a lot of experience with it. I'm sure you have more stories that, you know, we could sit here all day and do it. But dating back to the Sky Riders Tour, just go through and I talked to Mark a little bit about it before, but go through and explain what that was like and just some of your most fond memories from doing that.
Well, it was a Convair airplane and would hold 40 something people. And they'd have a big party in Birmingham and then take off the next day. In the latter years, some of it was they did some of it on the bus, like from, I think we went from Tuscaloosa to Starkville. Well, I know we did Tuscaloosa to Starkville on the bus, but it was mostly in this airplane, which was very hot until it got in the air, and lots of people in it who had stayed up too late the night before. And the late Jack Harston, who was the sports editor of the Gainesville Sun, was the head of the group known as the High Tribunal, who had been on just about every trip. And the first one was in 1965. My daddy was on it, in fact. My first one was in 1977. But he was the head of the High Tribunal, and you did not question the High Tribunal. And if you were a rookie, you had no rights whatsoever. And Jack would save. He had control of the PA system on the plane. And he would save airplane crash stories all year long and read them on the over the PA system. But it was, we would go to one school every day. There might be once or twice we'd go to. And there would be a dinner or lunch, as the case may be, and with the coach. And and then we could go to practice, and you could basically talk to get whatever players you wanted to talk to. Of course, setting up interviews in those days there was no social media, no websites, no nothing. So the only attention that college athletics got was from the people who covered it. And so interviews were much easier to come by then in those days. And they would have a hospitality room at night wherever we were spending the night, and the coaches would come and hang out, and it was fun. It was grueling. Lots of good stories. But as someone once put it, flying around the Southeast with 40 guys you wouldn't want to introduce to your mother. But for the people who went on it, it was a great memory. And I don't think I could do it now. I know I couldn't do it now the way we did it then, but it was a different day. And the obvious reason for switching to the Sky Riders is instead of 40 people, you have hundreds of people. And to the media days concept. And they did both for a year or two. But at that time, media days was not a, it was just the SEC schools and the people who covered them. And that was pretty much it. There was no, that was before 1984, when college football was taken away from the oversight of the NCAA. So, you know, there was not the TV situation was nothing like it is now. And it was pretty laid back. And even then it was laid back, and also not every coach was flying around the country in a private plane then either. So a lot of times they'd spend the night and they'd come up to the hospitality room then and hang out, some later than others. Johnny Majors was a hospitality room star, but people got to know each other in a little bit less of a intense atmosphere than the season. Now it's completely different. And I wouldn't say worse. It's the SEC doing what's best for them. And everything's different. I mean, everything about the game is different now than it was then. On the field, it's better than it's ever been. I don't think there's any question about that. But around that, it's different. And those of us who are old enough to remember what it was like before miss the old days. But it is what it is. And personally, after the past year and a half, I'm just looking forward to having somewhat of a sense of normalcy. Though it's not going to be the same as it has been. I mean, it's going to be all, you know, there's still all kinds of protocols in place that's going to make it a little less cozy than usual, but at least we're back talking about football, and I'm sure we're going to talk a whole lot about NIL and all that stuff and the playoff and all those things. But looking forward to it.
Yeah, so Philip will be there all 4 days this week. So Auburn Undercover, y'all can check him out, covering all the SEC teams and, you know, how they relate to Auburn. But Philip, you've seen, you know, a lot of different coaches not only come through Auburn and go to the event, but other schools as well. And some other people who have come on for this show have had some pretty funny stories about just not necessarily Auburn head coaches, because I don't think Gus Malzahn necessarily was going to, you know, be one of those guys that was going to stand out and do something like that, that was going to make headlines in that way. I doubt Brian Harsin is going to be like that either, but just in recent memory for you at media days, what have been the coaches that every year you're like, okay, I'm looking forward to talking to this guy again?
Let me think. I haven't really thought of it that way. Some of the ones that were the most enjoyable didn't come to many. they were there and gone.
Right.
It's always been interesting to me that whoever's supposed to be good tries to convince you they're not really that good, and whoever's not supposed to be any good tries to convince you that they really are good. But you mentioned Gus, the year was, I think it was 2018 when he and Brett Bielema had their little argument, and Nick Saban was kind of flying around the periphery of it on Bielema's side, and they got pretty hot. They got pretty hot. Both of them did, and it's that fall when Auburn played at Arkansas.
Yep.
And I'm not going to name the player, but it was fairly obvious because Bielema had accused not just Auburn, but teams who did what Auburn did were accusing people of faking injuries. And of course, that's because they were faking injuries. But Arkansas was driving in this game, which Auburn ended up winning by 2 or 3 touchdowns. But Arkansas was driving. And after a play, an Auburn player is just standing there, and apparently he suddenly remembers what he was supposed to do. And he's just standing there, and suddenly he's on the ground. and Bielema almost went crazy. I gave some respect for Gus that night.
That's great.
But of course, I guess Gus ended up winning the argument, but you'd have to say that, you know, Saban and Bielema really never did adjust to life in the SEC. That's obvious. And could not win. And we'll see if he can win back in the Big Ten. But you know, now instead of complaining about it, Saban's probably doing it better than anybody. So, or his program is. And but it was that was fun. One of my memories is the summer before Tim Tebow's senior year. The South Carolina quarterback, I can't remember his name right offhand. Anyway, got one vote. Was it the South Carolina quarterback? I don't remember which quarterback it was. Anyway, he got one vote. And on the coaches preseason all SEC team. And it was a mission for the guys who covered Florida to find out who had the audacity to not vote for the greatest player in the history of mankind, the greatest person to ever walk the earth, and all those things. And they asked every coach that went up there, which honestly, to be honest with you, I thought at the time, I thought it was absurd. Somebody did vote for Tim Tebow. I mean, why does it matter? But anyway, of course, half the time the coaches don't actually vote, the SID votes. Well, it turns out that the coach who did not vote for Tim Tebow was Steve Spurrier, and who denied it at his appearance at Media Days, but then his SID fessed up and told him that he had in fact voted for South Carolina quarterback or whoever it was. I don't remember who the quarterback was. But so there was that. But I remember the Media Days when right after the supposed Bagman story about Cam Newton. It was, that was a story 1 year. Usually there's something going on that's a story. But again, nothing like the Sky Riders. There I go back to the old days again. Fred Kersey was the head coach at Kentucky, and then they had been through all sorts of NCAA issues, and really it was pretty much an outlaw program. But Roy Exum, who was a sports writer from Chattanooga, who had a unique job since his grandfather owned the paper. But great guy, great humorist, great guy. And we're at the back with, because Kersey had been under all sorts of heat, and, you know, and so it's about time for Kersey to get up, and Exum stands up and says, Fran, for before you get started, there's something we'd like to share with you, okay? He said, all right, and then he starts to read. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you. Kersey did not think it was humorous at all.
Oh my gosh.
At all.
Wow.
But and then we also had two guys almost get in a fight during the blessing one night, too. A very profane almost getting in a fight during the blessing one night.
During the blessing?
Yeah, right. During the blessing before dinner.
Oh, no. Any time other than that.
But you know, the media days now is much more scripted and much more, and it'll be even more that way this year because usually they'll bring the players in and one's in one corner, one's in another corner, and one's in another corner. And now they'll have two from each team, but they'll just take their turn on the podium. There won't be much close interaction. That'll be one difference this year. But and plus, it's much more made for TV extravaganza now.
Yeah.
Than it used to be.
Yeah, I'm not expecting for us to get, you know, an absurd amount of stuff. But like you said, it is fun just because it's the season starting. But just,
you know, it's not necessarily going to be any earth shattering news.
Right.
But you never know. And you know, sometimes somebody says something that they regret. And that's always for me. I'm not big on trying to get 20-year-olds to say something and they wish they hadn't said.
Yeah.
But coaches, on the other hand, I mean, they're fair game.
Yeah.
Whatever they say. Of course, what anybody says there is fair game.
Right.
I'm not suggesting anybody should ignore it. I'm suggesting I'm not big on trying to get them to do it. I guess that's the bottom line of that.
Yeah, I think Owen and – I like the pairing of Owen and Bo. I think they'll do a good job. I'm excited. Yeah,
they're not likely to say anything. Of course, there's always somebody wanting to make something out of something, even if you don't – I mean, you know, players are going to be confident. They're going to believe in themselves, and they're going to – and sometimes other what they say gets misconstrued or twisted and it sounds like they were doing something they had no intention of doing.
Right.
It's going to be interesting to see how Harsin handles it.
Yeah, he hasn't ever dealt with anything like this before, I don't think.
No, and he hasn't even dealt with it as much as you normally would have dealt with it by this time because of all the COVID restrictions. So that'll be interesting. My gut feeling is he won't be. He won't enjoy it all that much, but
no, probably not.
But we'll see.
We shall see.
Already, Philip, kind of forcing it because they're up last.
Yeah,
offer is up last, and a lot of people be gone.
Yep. Well, here's hoping there'll be enough people stick around to be able to say hey to everybody and catch up a good bit. Philip, thanks so much for coming on and joining us and giving us all your perspective. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing you on Thursday. But enjoy the rest of the week. And we're going to get to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Auburn Undercover podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So there have been a few notable events that have occurred when I've been at Media Days. I've been to three of them, been to 17, which was Trey Matthews, Daniel Carlson, Braden Smith for Auburn. 18 was Jarrett Stidham, Dontavius Russell, and Deshaun Davis, which Deshaun Davis was pretty entertaining. Because I think for like his whole, they call it like the breakout session where he gets like a big corner of the room to himself. Like Philip said, they're not going to have that this year. They're just going to be up on the main stage, but he just wore sunglasses like the entire time. But I don't really remember like exactly what he said or it being that standout or funny or anything like that. But 2019 has easily been the best one for me so far. And the best memory I have of that one is we're sat up talking with in the little breakout session, talking with Prince Tega Winogo, Auburn's former left tackle. And he was talking about, he was asked about some of the misconceptions from him being from Africa. He said, you know, he meets a lot of people who say, or who just assume that like he grew up in this like village and that he joked that, you know, he has to fight off tigers all the time. And he was basically like, you know, I grew up watching superhero movies and like, you know, it's like, it was, a, you know, I went to town and stuff like that. He was like, you know, not everywhere in Africa is a rundown village. And he kind of thought that was funny that everyone kind of had that perception. But then he also admitted that he has a certain perception of America. That's why I brought up the superhero movie. He said he would watch superhero movies like Spider-Man and get this kind of perception of what the United States was like. And then when he got here, it was a little different too. So he said, you know, he understands why people are like that. You kind of go off of what is portrayed in media. But I remember, and it was Brandon Marcello, obviously former Auburn 24/7 reporter, who asked him about his giraffe, because Prince Tega had been tweeting that he had a pet giraffe. And he was like, not only talking about the fact that he had a giraffe, but also that like the measurables of this giraffe, how much he was weighing. And he was like, I really miss my giraffe back home. And I don't even remember like if I believed his tweets at the time. But Brandon asked him about it. And actually I scrolled back on the Auburn Undercover YouTube page and was actually fortunate enough to find the interview. So I'll just let that play out right now so you guys can hear Prince Tega talking about his pet giraffe. And you know, let me know if you actually believed it here for a second.
I've seen you tweet about having a pet giraffe back home. Tell me a little bit about the pet giraffe and how long you had the pet giraffe.
You know, you're asking about Bobo?
Bobo.
Yeah, but that's yeah. Bobo is just something I actually made up whenever like, I go here. And people are literally asking me about that every time. Because people, like, their understanding about Africa is like a big safari. Yeah. So people always ask me, do you have a pet tiger? Like, no, you got a pet lion? No, I don't like lion or tiger. I got a giraffe, though. So y'all always tell them, like, I got a pet giraffe. His name was Bobo. And whenever they ask me, I told them, Bobo, I was like, I'm like 25 by now. Like, you don't tell them. So, yeah.
Well, you've convinced people that it's true?
Sometimes.
Sometimes?
It just depends on whatever you believe.
You had me convinced a little bit.
Oh, you was?
Yeah.
I mean Bobo is real.
So, yeah, I just loved how it seems like he's definitely fooled some people by it before, but that was just so funny because like that definitely sums up the conceptions, you know, the misconceptions people have about where he was from and stuff, and joking that he had a pet giraffe was kind of like the perfect way to try to confuse people. And I 100% can see him, like friends on the Auburn campus and maybe like other Auburn football players, him just telling about his giraffe and be like, yeah. The funniest part was like, he's like, yeah, he's about, you know, 25 feet now, something like that. Just the way he delivered that was so great. Like, I can just totally see him just going up to people and being very serious about it and trying to make them believe it. And that was the same. I think I referenced this with somebody earlier in the podcast, but that was the same media days where he said that on his official visit to Auburn, because he's got like a big like birthmark on one of his like biceps, and Gus Malzahn asked him, he thought it was a scar. It looks like a scar. And Gus Malzahn asked him how he got it. And he said that he just like deadpan looked Gus straight in the face and said, yeah, I had to defend my family from this tiger and I killed him. And he said that Gus was like, oh, wow, that's crazy. I can't believe you did that. And then he was like, nah, man, I'm just kidding. So Prince Tega definitely has been my favorite one so far. But there is an honorable mention for me. And it was my very first one, 2017. I didn't know anybody. I was like going the whole thing all by myself alone. And there's like a small, I forget what they call it, the auxiliary room. I don't know. But there's multiple stops the coaches will make other than just the main podium. Now, I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think it'll be just more like main podium stuff to space out. But Gus was in like this breakout room and we were pretty much done asking him questions. and somebody, it's like a young reporter, and he said, so this was after the 2016 season, so heading into 2017. So Gus had been there for 13, 14, 15, 16. So you'd been there, only been there for four seasons. He said, you had the same record as Gene Chizik after 3 years. And I was like, okay, I mean, I can kind of see where this is going. This is fine. And then the reporter goes, so why do you think you weren't terminated like Gene Chizik was? And we all were just like, what? Everybody started just kind of looking around. And Gus like asked him to repeat the question, I think because he was just, maybe he was so shell-shocked, but I also think he was like trying to, you know, prepare an answer and he wanted more time. And so the guy asked him again, this verbatim, said the same exact thing. And Gus just like looked and turned to the moderator next to him, and the guy like shrugged his shoulders, and Gus started laughing. And then he gave some like, he gave, I can't remember what his response exactly was, but it was, I remember at the time thinking like, all right, that was pretty good, all things considered. He was like, yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, coach speak, coach speak, coach speak. But he worked his way out of it pretty well, out of a pretty difficult question, and honestly kind of a ridiculous question. And then he kept on laughing, and he leaned into the mic again, and he said, that's a pretty interesting question you got right there. And everybody just for the rest of the day was like telling that story to their other friends and like pointing that guy out. It's like, there's the guy that asked that question. So yeah, there's a lot of shaming that goes on. I was not taking part in it, but yeah, it was pretty definitely the most like harsh reaction I've seen from a coach so far. Gus's face just kind of like opened up, and he was like, oh, very interesting question you've got right there. So yeah, hopefully we get some tidbits like that this week, and people acting a little crazy and doing some crazy things, and players just kind of having some fun with it. That always makes for a good year. You've got some dull years, and then you've got some fun years. Hopefully this one turns out to be a fun year, because obviously we're all sad we didn't get it last year. But all right, well, that is it. That is the end of the podcast. Pretty long one. Appreciate you guys listening and tuning into this one. Let me know if you guys enjoyed it. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Please do so if you liked the show. That is what helps us out more than anything. If you want to reach me, you can go to my Twitter account, and at bynathanking@gmail.com is where you can shoot me a message, or you can direct message me on the message board. Do you have any suggestions or anything like that? Any thoughts on what you want to be in the next episode, stuff like that? Definitely be on the lookout. We're going to have all kinds of coverage from Media Days this week. I'm really excited about it. Like I said, Philip will be there all 4 days, so he's going to have coverage of every team, their specific storylines, and how they relate to Auburn. He's got some, I've already seen some of the ideas he's working on. It's going to be pretty good stuff. And then me, Mark, and Jason will be there on Thursday to cover Brian Harsin, Bo Nix, and Owen Papo. So the intro and outro music is by Beats by Mordecai. You can find him on Twitter, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Thanks so much to him for providing that to us. And until the next episode, which will be at the end of the week, talking about what happened at Media Days, I will talk to you guys later. Everybody have a good week.